chapter 5 in your Bible tonight. And thank you again for coming to the house of God. Tomorrow night is the last night. Now, if you invited somebody and they promised they'd come, be relentless, okay? Don't quit. Don't give up. Get intense, okay? Call them on the phone and say, if you don't come to revival tomorrow night, I'm going to blow your house up. Really. Yeah, give them the program now, okay? Get tough. Get tough. Tough love. That's what we need in this revival. Amen. That'll do it, brother. That'll do it right there. I did have a revival in the early days of my ministry back in the 20s. And, yeah, not quite that far. But a young man got saved. Wanted his buddy to get saved. And he asked him and asked him and asked him. And the guy really had been a rascal before he got saved. He went to him. I said, I'm putting it on the line. He said, I know that you stole wheels off a car. Here's the deal. If you don't come to revival Friday night, I'm going to call the police and tell them. The guy came and didn't get saved, but he come to revival. So, you know, all things are legitimate, friend, really. Make a real effort to bring somebody tomorrow night. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 1. The Apostle Paul said, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have the building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Stop. What did Paul say there? I know, K-N-O-W, that I'm going to heaven. I'm glad we can know that. Not maybe, not my. And if you don't know it tonight before you leave, you can know that. Now, verse number 2. Is for this we go on earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. And I thought we would be unclothed, but clothed upon the mortality, and not be swallowed up of life. He that has brought us to the self-same thing is God, who also has given us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, here's that word again, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore, we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, when that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. 1871, Dwight L. Moody, great evangelist, preached to a crowd in Chicago, estimated it probably 15,000 people. Close the service that night, Dwight L. Moody did a very unusual thing. Ladies and gentlemen, he said, tonight I'm giving an invitation. You go back to your house, think about what you'll do with Christ. Tomorrow night, come back here, walk down these aisles, make that decision public. He has someone to close in prayer. That night as the pastor closed in prayer, the distance, the ringing of fire bells. That was the night of the great Chicago fire. For the sun arose the next morning, literally hundreds of people, that auditorium that night, had entered eternity. 1899, the year when he died, 3 weeks before he died, a reporter come to see him. They sat and talked a while. The reporter said, now, Mr. Moody, 40 years you've been going up and down America preaching. He said, sir, do you have any regrets? Moody's massive voice, body trembled. Tears came down his cheeks. Oh, yes, he said, yes, yes. Said, that night back there in Chicago, I should have been more urgent. I should have been more urgent. Hear me. The Apostle Paul was a man who was always urgent. Paul just didn't look for opportunities to serve God. Paul created opportunities to serve God. Time and time again in my own life, I've asked one question. What was it that gripped and drove and compelled the Apostle Paul to serve God? Number one, first of all, the fact of death. Look in your Bible, please. Look at verse 1 again. The fact of death. Verse 1. For we know if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, what did Paul say? I know if my body dies and decays, We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. Number one, death is fearless to a child of God. I'm not afraid to die. Why? Because I know on the authority of the Word of God, when I breathe my last breath here, I take my first breath there. I'm so glad tonight. Going to heaven is not maybe, not might, not perhaps. I talk to people all over the place, airplanes, trains, hotels. You're going to heaven? I hope so. Man, what a gamble. What a gamble. You're gambling with hell and judgment. My friend, thank God, the book says you can know that you're going to heaven. Look on down. I'll mention it again. Verse 6, therefore we are always confident. Confident, that word confident. Knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. Paul said, I'm confident. I know I'm going to heaven. Again, look down again. Verse number 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. 1 John. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, what did God write? One book, not the Book of Mormons. He wrote the Bible. Amen. What he said? These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. You might know, K-N-O-W, that you have eternal life. Friend, do you know that tonight? Are you sure of that tonight? I had a dear friend I used to try to play golf together. And his name was Paul. And the one, I'd been gone for about 6 weeks, and I walked in church one morning, and Paul came up, was an older gentleman. Paul said, do I know you? I said, no, we've never seen each other. I thought he was joking. After the service, his wife came up and said, Brother Mark, Paul has Alzheimer's and is moving quick. There's a beautiful home. We moved in a living facility. And then something happened. For 3 years, Paul didn't say a word, not a word. He had a heart attack. Then he had another heart attack. And the doctor said, get the family here quick. Probably he'll have one more heart attack. It'll take him. The family came, two daughters and a son. His wife was there. They're around the bed. All of a sudden, Paul opened his eyes, looked around, called each one by name. Each one of them. Say to each one of them individually. You live for God. You serve God. Someday you're going to face God. Live Him. Serve Him. Love Him. Pretty soon, Paul said, well, he said, you know what? I think it's time for me to go to heaven. Goodbye, closed his eyes and died. That's how a Christian dies. No fear, no screaming, no crying. Why? Because we know. Yeah. Absent from the body, thank God. We check out down here and we check in up there. Thank God for that. Number one, first of all, he says death is fearless to a Christian. Hear me. Death is final to a Christian. Look in your Bible again. In Psalm, verse 9, Paul said, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Here's what Paul said. Man, I want to do everything I can now, while I can, because someday I may not be able to serve God. Psalm 90. Hear your Bible. Lord, teach us to number our days. We may apply our hearts unto wisdom. We don't think that way, do we? The psalmist said, Moses, by the way, wrote that. He said, Lord, teach us to number our days. We don't think that way. January 1st, here we go. It's resolution time. Okay, this year I'm going to read the Bible through 43 times. Yeah, that's a good resolution. But normally, by about time you get to Deuteronomy, you kind of cover it out there. You know, yeah, really. This year I'm going to have a great prayer ministry. No, that fizzles, okay. This year I'm going to be faithful in the house of God. You get tired and stay home. No, wait. My friend, teach us to number our, hear your Bible, days, not years, days, not months, days. Wow, what an emphasis that is. The psalmist said, Lord, help me to have every single day to count for you. Ah, a good habit to have when you're in bed at night. Think, what did I do today? It's going to amount to something in eternity. Oh, the importance of living for God day by day. Many years ago, I preached one Sunday in Chillicothe, Illinois, just out of Peoria. And after the morning service, a couple came to me and they said, Brother Mark, do you have anywhere to go for lunch? I said, no, I don't. They said, come to our house and spend the afternoon. I said, okay. We got there and we had a wonderful lunch. After lunch, we went in the living room, turned the television on. Watch the Cubs get beat as always. Now, we're sitting there, and all of a sudden after the game, we're weeping and sobbing, and somehow between sobs, a time of silence, heard a sound about like this. Then the man started talking. Pretty soon we get it around the table, grab a snack before church, and he said, let's pray. Before we prayed again, I heard that clicking noise. Had a wonderful, wonderful lunch there, and got to church afterward. He said, when I talk to you, I said, okay. Said, you hear something tonight? And when I prayed, I said, I did. He said, let me tell you about it. He said, a year ago I had open heart surgery. This was the early days. Said, they thought everything went well. They discovered the type of work I do. Constant hammering and pounding was bending those valves out of place. Brother Mark, you said they took out those plastic valves and replaced them with metal valves. So that sound you heard before we prayed, after we prayed, was the valves in my heart clicking as they opened and closed. He said, sir, that changed my life. So it used to be I'd pick up my Bible, go to church on Sunday morning, that's enough. He said, now, every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, every visitation night, I'm faithful in the house of God. That will look me right in the eye. He said, sir, I must do everything I can for God today. Amen. Because he said, tomorrow, I may not be here. That man could very well outlive you and I. But he had the sense to live his life to serve God. Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher, was sick most of the time in his latter years. Sometimes for months he'd be out of that great church. He couldn't preach. He was sick. But he said this. He said, it doesn't bother me. He said, because I did everything I could for God when I could. He said, God is satisfied with that, and so am I. That's true. That's true. You do what you can when you can. My friend, if you waste your life for God lying in a nursing home rotten somewhere, it's too late. You do what you can for God. Somehow you're paralyzed. It's too late. God help us today, today, to live and serve and love Jesus Christ. Number one, the fact of death motivated too Paul. Number two, the force of the judgment motivated Paul. Look in your Bible, verse 10. Paul said, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That everyone may receive the things done in his body, whether that he has done, whether it be good or bad. In verse 10, Paul talks about a doctrine that affects every single Christian. Understand that word, Christian. A day is coming, every born-again believer will come, stand alone before Jesus Christ, open his mouth, and give an account. Now, the issue is not salvation. The issue is rewards. I'll come to that in a minute. The issue is rewards. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. Several things about this. Number one, first of all, the judgment seat of Christ is impartial. Look at verse 10. Paul said, we must all, A-L-L, appear. There's no exception. There's no exemption. There's no excuse absence. Friend, if you're saved, ready or not, you'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ. I was a boy growing up. There were two words I got confused. Thought I'm older, much, much wiser. I come to realize those two words mean the exact same thing. Now, the words are demon and dentist. Amen. They're mighty close. I'll tell you that right now. Now, my dear mother never had psychology. I'd be in bed at night. She'd walk in and say, now, son, don't forget. First thing in the morning, you go see Dr. Smith, the dentist. I'd lay awake all night long. Make up all these things that were wrong with me. This morning, I'd go in the kitchen. I'd say, Mama, got bad news. I contracted tuberculosis last night, therefore I can't go and see the dentist. Oh, my mom, I've had tuberculosis, polio, jungle rot, swine flu, athlete's feet. You need, guess what? The next day, I wound up in the dentist chair. He had both hands crammed in my little bitty teeny wee itsy bitsy mouth. Now, hear me. You may sit home Sunday night. You may never go on visitation. There is one appointment you cannot miss. Ready or not, you'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Number one, it's impartial. More news. It's individual. Look at that verse again. Verse number 10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one, O-N-E. See, on that day, Christ will say, okay, all the members of Heritage Baptist, come on down. No, he doesn't say that, no. It's individual. See, some folk like a big church. You know why? They can hide, don't have to do anything. They're not there, nobody misses them. They don't do anything, nobody knows. My friend, the spotlight is on you at the judgment seat of Christ. You're alone, as close to Christ as you're ever, ever, ever going to be. My friend, it's individual. It's impartial. Number three, it's based on information. Look in your Bible again, verse 10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things, look at that word, done, D-O-N-E, in his body. According to that, he has done, D-O-N-E. Wow. It's based on fact, not fancy. It's based on fact, not rumor. It's based on fact, not opinion. You'll stand there, and what Christ said, the all-knowing eyes of God, is based on information. Number four, it's based on industry. What have you done? Look at that verse again. I like that. Verse number 10. Everyone may receive the things, look at that word, done, D-O-N-E, in his body. According to that, he hath done, D-O-N-E. To some Christians, he says, well, done, good and faithful servant. Understand something. Don't miss it. Good intentions do not count. What might have been does not count. What should have been does not count. Get that. It's based on accomplishment. Yeah, now think of that. I know you're sincere. You say, someday I'm going to start. Oh, wait, question, time out. How many years have you been saying, someday I'm going to be a soul winner? How many years have you been saying, well, someday I'm going to start reading my Bible? How many years have you been saying, someday I'll be faithful in God's house? Someday does not count. It's based on what you actually have done, D-O-N-E. That ought to strive us today, to do what we can for Jesus Christ. I just heard a story not long ago. Carl Henry was a great theologian. In World War II, he was a paratrooper. And they're on a run, a practice run. And Carl Henry said he was second in line, waiting to jump out. Said all of a sudden, they got him in line, they hooked them all up. The commander, the fuel door was taken, the first guy, jump! The guy froze. He got his legs out and got a hold of the gang officer grabbed him, threw him back, called him a junk, got under seven, pulled the ripcord, and just in a tremendous explosion, he may have sent him to the ground, but he was the last man out. Someday, my friend, the Church of Jesus Christ will be full. The body of Christ will be complete. The trumpet will sound. And your time of serving God is done and through and finished. What have you done? D-O-N-E. In 1903, a ship was coming into the harbor in Chicago. It was called the Lady Elgin. The harbor was ice, but they had one channel open to get in and out of the harbor. It was the pilot's second trip. In the darkness, he lost track of where he was and rammed the ship into a large hunk of ice. The hull split open. The ship started sinking about 120 yards offshore. One young man aboard, his name was Edward Spencer. Time and time again, he went in that freezing water, grabbed someone, took him to shore, come back out. He just finished his 11th person. He staggered on the shore. His body was shaking. His teeth were chattering. He turned around. He heard out of the darkness, heard a voice. The voice said, help, for God's sake, please, somebody help. That great man jumped and went back in the water. Swim out. As he got near him, by light of the moon, he realized what happened. A man was holding his wife by her blonde hair, trying to keep her from drowning. Edward Spencer got out there. One hand, he gripped the man. Other hand, gripped the wife, kicked back to shore, stumbled up on shore, and collapsed. He was put in a hospital. For 3 days and three nights, literally, his life hung in the balance. Day number four, they knew he would live. Day number five, his brother, Ed Spencer, a Methodist preacher, come to see him. They talked a while. Pretty soon, Spencer's face became drawn and grave and serious. He said, I got to ask you a question. You're my brother, but also you're my very best friend. Go ahead, ask me the question. Oh, wait, you got to be honest. I'll be honest. He said, that night out there, when the ship went down, did I really and truly do my best? Now wait. He could have said, I'll ask you and everybody else put together. Yeah. He actually had a medal from the Congress of the United States. Tremendous press releases about his great feat. He could have stood there, twice the medal, showed them, wait, he could not forget the horrified looks on faces of people he could not rescue. over and over in his mind, bring that question, did I do my best? Right? Let me ask you, are you doing your best to reach a lost world? Are you just a spectator? Is it just, oh, how am I heard it before? God, give us a new vision, a new victory in this thing, reaching out to a lost and dying world and try and bring people and someday stand before Christ and have Christ say, hey, you did your best. I'll tell you something tonight. Christ is worth our best after all he's done for us. Some of you say, I'm going to heaven. That's all I'm out. That's a lie. There's one of you saved and going to heaven. Sneak it alone. Let family, friends, neighbors go to hell. Shame on you. Shame on you. God, help us have a fire in our soul to reach out for others as one day, thank God, one day somebody reached out to us. Thank God there's a crown, there's rewards. If we serve God faithfully like we should. And finally, there's a finality of the rapture. Look at your Bible. Go back to verse 1. Key word here, the finality of the rapture. Paul said, for we know that, here's the word, if our earthly house of this tabernacle is dissolved. Paul said, if I die and my body decays. Now wait, time out. Why did Paul say if? One reason. Paul never expected to die.
Right.
Not because he took vitamins, no. Not because he jogged, no. One reason. Paul never expected to die because he expected Jesus Christ to come again. 200 times in your Bible, it reminds you that Christ is coming again. In such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. You say, I don't think he's coming tonight. Thank you, because that may be the time he comes. Are you ready? Are you ready? If this was tonight, this hear the trumpet. Are you ready? My friend, ready or not, he is. Baptism is mentioned 30 times in your Bible. Prayer, 60 times. The second coming is mentioned 280 times in the New Testament. If you don't believe in the second coming, you don't believe in your Bible. The Bible says, such an hour as you think not, unexpected, surprise. That's when he's coming. Dr. Robertson in Chattanooga said in that church was a man very, very wealthy. Had no time for God, no time for church. No time for his family, really. Thanksgiving Day, they had a big thing in his house, and he had a son. Told his son the night before Thanksgiving, son, let's get up early in the morning, and you and I will go, we'll go hunting, okay? They got up early, got their guns, went out early in the morning. They come to a fence. They probably put his gun against one fence post. Somebody is against the other. Probably put his foot on the bottom rung of the barbed wire, stepped down, grabbed the stick around with the gloved hand, pulled up. The son bent over him, stepped through the fence, thought he was through, started to straighten up. His hunting jacket caught in the fence shook violently, the boy's gun fell off, the trigger caught in the twig of a tree, the gun went off and shot the boar in the face and neck. The father grabbed his bleeding son, ran 4 miles back to the house, called an ambulance, rushed him to the hospital. When he got in there, he was dead. They asked Lee Robertson to have the funeral. So during the song service, the father sat there like a piece of stone. Lee Robertson said, I preached hard at that funeral, hard. The father just sat there totally unconcerned. Then he said, for the last time, the family came and viewed the body. So I'm standing right there with my Bible beside the coffin. The father came up and looked down. All of a sudden, he started talking to the corpse. He said, son, goodbye. He said, son, you know I love you very, very, very much. He said, son, you mean the world to me. He said, son, there are so many things I'd planned for us to do, but I just never got around to it. I just never got around to it. I wonder. Is it going to be the cry of thousands of Christians at the judgment seat of Christ? I intend to read my Bible. I intend to break that habit. I intend to be a soul winner. But Jesus, I just never got around to it. Buddy, you got all eternity to figure out what you wasted your life on. It's going to happen. What are you doing for God? Are you serving him? Are you ready to meet him? Bow your head for prayer. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Two questions. Number one.